Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
It is good to be in church. Are you excited for today? Hey, seriously, whatever campus you may be at, whether you're here in New Zealand or you're in one of our incredible campuses there in Adelaide or Melbourne over in Australia, g'day, mate, we're believing that today on Empower Sunday, it would be a significant moment in time. We're at the beginning of a new year, albeit 10% or so already in, that God would speak, that God would lead, that God would direct us as a church, as a community of people, to see His kingdom come, His will be done. And I'm really excited for this year and what God's placed on my heart that I feel is the God word for us as a church. And so if you're a visitor here, as has already been said, welcome to the family. But today is a significant day for our family because we get to take a moment to get pointed in the right direction of God and believe that this year would be all and more than what we could ever dream because God's a part of the picture. And so if you've been a part of life, you'll know that in the last year we've been on a journey around discipleship, and the heart would be we wouldn't just be a church that does discipleship, but as a community of people, we would be a church full of disciples. And last year, as I mentioned, the simple phrase that I felt God speak over our church was come, follow me. And in the same vein of that, I really feel like God has been challenging me with these two simple words that as we're going to unpack, and I pray you discover, like God has been impressing on my heart, how powerful they are. And the year 2024 for us as a church, whether here in New Zealand or there in Australia, is simply this. It's the year of the one. And before you get too excited, because it doesn't sound that grand, like revival or fire or something like that, the heart is simply this, that we would discover the one more than ever before, and we would go on a journey as getting closer and closer to Jesus, that I believe every single one of us this year, God is going to impress on our hearts and in our lives and our words who the one is we are to disciple. And this is where it might get a little bit quiet because you might think, oh, I don't know if my personality is that way inclined, Luke, or I haven't been a Christian that long, or I don't know what I could do to help someone else. I'm just battling along myself. I pray today as we come around God's word in a moment, you'll gain courage from an incredible man in the Bible that maybe we don't know a whole lot about, but we discover in his life that he really knows the one. And through a personal revelation of the one, there is now a personal application to go after the one in his life. I don't want you to underestimate small beginnings. In fact, the Bible says that, and although the one may not be that grand, we are going to realize the power of not just the one, but the power of what the one can do through you and I to make a difference in the ones we do life with. Before we get to the text, I want to ask every single person, when I say think of a name of a disciple, what comes to mind? One of the disciples in the Bible. I'm pretty sure most people, if not all of us, are either going to pick one of the top three, Peter, James, and John. They just roll off the tongue. Maybe you can identify with Doubting Tommy, and so you're thinking of Thomas, or you've heard of Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew's a book in the Bible. But I'm picking not many of us, maybe if any of us, thought of the name Andrew. And the reason for this is Andrew is one of the 12 disciples, but he's only mentioned 12 to 13 times in the Gospels compared to his brother Peter, who's mentioned over 150 times. But make no mistake, even though this may seem like Andrew wasn't that significant, we're going to discover today that if it wasn't for Andrew, actually, there would be no Peter, he would still be Simon, because it was Andrew that brought Simon to Jesus, and it was Jesus that renamed him Peter, and it was Peter that was declared the rock that Jesus would build his church on. You see, Andrew is actually the first disciple to recognize Jesus as Messiah. Rewind this text we're about to read. There was John the Baptist, and John was a forerunner to Jesus, and John declared Jesus was coming, and John spoke of Jesus as the Lamb of God. But it was Andrew, we're going to discover, that when he encountered Jesus, he realized he wasn't just the Lamb of God, he was Messiah, which means the Christ. Take a look with me in John 1, 35 to 42. And it says this: the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. When John's two disciples heard this, they left John to follow Jesus. Jesus looked around and he saw them following and he said, "What do you want?" And they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher. And they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying? Come and see," Jesus said. It was about 4 p.m. They went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. And then verse 40 says this: Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John had said and started following Jesus. Andrew went to go and find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus, and looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. And as we understand in another one of the Gospels, Jesus reiterates that the word Peter, the name Peter, means rock. And he goes on to say, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." Father, I pray whatever campus or whatever country we may be in, whether it's our first time in an environment like this, or we know what it is to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, I pray that your word would speak to us. That in the next few moments, we would hear from your heart for our year ahead. I pray this wouldn't just be another message I preach or another message we hear, but it would be you and you alone that we hear from today, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. There is power in the one. In fact, God sent his one and only Son, and Jesus changed the game for all humanity. But if we're not careful, we underestimate the power that is in the one. And I don't know if you've ever played games like I did when you were a child. It'd be a little weird if you're still playing them now, unless you're playing them with your kids, because that's what parents do. But games like Tiggy or Tag, you know, Tag, you're it. Games like Go Home, Stay Home. You remember that one where there was a base and one person was in, no goose guarding allowed, and you had to sneakily get back home, and if you didn't get tagged, you were safe. Another crowd favorite, sardines. Anyone remember sardines? I love sardines because one person would hide, you find them, and you hide with them, and you just make sure you're not last, otherwise you lose. Hide and seek, a crowd favorite as well. Hide and seek is a popular game, but one of the games I remember and loved to play when I was a child, and in our friend circle, it was called Manhunt. Now, if you don't know what Manhunt is, it's similar to hide and seek, but there is a key difference. You see, with hide and seek, everyone would hide and someone would count, and once you were found, you were out. But with Manhunt, everyone would hide, and as soon as someone found you, you weren't out, you were now in with them to go search out everyone else that was hiding. Pack mentality. It was awesome because where you have hide and seek with 3 or 4 people, it doesn't take too long. If you played hide and seek with 50 to 100 people, how many know you're there for a long time? But with Manhunt, even if you had a massive crowd of people, it didn't actually take too long because as soon as people started being found, they joined the search and rescue party to find those who were hiding, who were lost. The more I've thought about it this week, I reckon a Christian came up with that game. Because it's pretty much the gospel. God sends Jesus. Jesus searches you and I out. And then once we're found and we say yes to Jesus, the Bible tells us he invites us into the family of faith, the story that's unfolding each and every day, to not just be with the one, but to find those in our lives that are now our one to share Jesus with. It's a great big game of manhunt. But I have to say that in my own life at 37 years of age, being a Christian 33 of those years, it can be all too easy to get familiar with our faith. Or maybe I'll put it a bit more of a brutal way, all too easy to get selfish with our faith. It's just me and Jesus and everyone else is over here. But we discover and we're going to learn there is power in each one of us, not only just discovering the one, but now going on a discovery of the ones that are yet to be found. Before, you disqualify yourself because of your personality or immaturity of faith or fear of people and whatever else is on the list that goes on in our head as to why Jesus couldn't use us. We can take encouragement from Andrew's life today that if we follow Jesus and we create followers of Jesus, we actually will shape the course of history where we understand because of Andrew's decision to leave John and follow Jesus and then go after his brother and bring him to Jesus, that not only was the church established, but billions of people, because of who Jesus is, the one, now have hope, now have freedom, now have life and life in abundance, now have forgiveness for everything they've ever done, a security of their eternity. That's how powerful the one is. Perhaps Andrew is actually more like us than we realize. Truth is, for most of us, we won't be known here on this earth, much more outside of our own peer group. Most of us won't be famous and have volumes of books read about us. We won't be mentioned 150 plus times. Most of us will serve Jesus with no fanfare attached to our name. We'll serve in relative obscurity with no celebration of greatness connected to us. I guess the truth is, in any of our campuses right now, it would be fair to say that for most of us, we're more Andrews than we are Pauls or Peters. We're people that are making decisive decisions to follow Jesus. But there's no mention of our name or no spotlight here on this earth. But we discover that those who faithfully follow Jesus and search out lost people and bring them to Jesus are the ones that get the recognition in heaven. This year, I want to take a moment as a senior pastor to encourage every single individual that calls Life Home, whatever campus or country you may be at. I don't want to encourage the person next to you, I want to encourage you. I don't want to encourage the person that you know has got a better faith than you. I want to encourage you that this year is the year that if you and I would understand through proximity to Jesus how much he desires a relationship with us and a relationship through us to other people, you'll realize he actually needs you, not just wants you. The Bible puts it this way. He wants to use anyone and everyone. And the good news is, no matter how inadequate you may feel, I may feel, the Bible declares that he empowers us to do not even just what Jesus did, but greater works than him. I love what 2 Chronicles says in verse 9 of chapter 16. It says, the eyes of the Lord, they search the whole earth in order to what? Strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When Jesus is your one and your only one that you trust and the only one that you follow, you actually gain the access and possess the same power and greater power because that's how good a life in Christ is. But if we're not careful, we'll underestimate the day of small beginnings and not get passionate about a title of the one, because we fail to realize that one moment can shift a family, a generation. In fact, a globe. Jesus proved that. Got an amazing and a powerful story by a name of Atta that I'd love for you to watch, which really depicts the power of what Jesus has done in his life through incredible people like a man he's going to mention, Peter Thiel. Why don't you check out the story?
My name's Atta. I'm from Porirua. I'm a second year counsellor. I'm always out there blasting my ghetto blaster with gospel music. And this is my story. I was a lost sheep, totally lost in the darkest of darkest. I was a very wild man. I didn't really care who you were. If you looked at me funny, I'm taking your head off. I just remember a lot of blood as a kid. There was a lot of beatings in front of the statue of Mary. I went to a deep hole. I was traveling overseas for fights, hoping someone would just end my life. I was seeing so many counselors and they all sucked. Honestly, they really sucked at it. But I got an opportunity to see one more guy. And all I know is from this guy, Peter Thiel. He hadn't changed from the first time I met him. And he's just been the same nonstop, even with some of my shenanigans that come up, you know, and some of my rough edges. It was different the way he was approaching me, correcting me by being silent. He said he loved me regardless. He just wanted to know that I'm okay. He was talking the talk and walking the walk. And it's from there that things started happening. Started getting involved with other men that were going through what I went through. I got this counselling on wheels, C-O-W, COW. I see myself in a lot of these men that I come across, especially I come across many 501s who've been deported from overseas, Australia. But I so see a broken follower deep down inside. And that's the guy that I'm after. He takes me to areas where I don't want to go. They try to attack me, it doesn't matter. I still return the next day. Okay, we're ready to go again? And they're quite shocked. Are you still turning up? You want another one? Sure. I mean, that's where I'm at. I just return until, you know, God tells me, dust your feet on this one, carry on. While I'm helping others too, they were actually helping me. The way I see God is love. You know, I've never seen this kind of love before. This goodness. What's a truly like to be known by God? And all I know is he come looking for me. And I have realized even more now that he leaves the 99 to come and find that lost one. If he could change me, I guarantee he can change you.
Come on. Whatever campus, why don't you put your hands together for Atta, Craig and the team that put that together. Powerful story. Get a chance to talk to Atta, yeah? Understand that counselling on wheels business. He's put the word cow in big letters on his car because the types of guys he turns up to like to eat beef. And he says it's awesome because they come up and they're like, are you selling beef, bro? And he's like, nah, but how are you really going? It's the doorway in. But I wonder, in a year of the one, whether we would live as Atta lives. Discovering the wonder of a relationship with Jesus, he says he was in a hospital in 1997 when he shouldn't have been alive due to a car crash, and he was helpless and he called out to Jesus in that hospital bed and said, would you help me? And he found him. But as he said, traumatic past, and this incredible man, Peter Thiel, loved him and still loves him regardless, as he says. But isn't it interesting that someone who would, by nature, if you knew the full gamut of the testimony, be enough excuse to not bother? But he's discovered the one. Yes. Yeah. And more than that, he's discovered it's not just for me, But through my story, I can bring the one to my one. I truly believe our city, our nation, our nations, our globe would radically change if every single Bible-believing, Jesus-following Christian would say, you know what? Time's too short. I've got to seek the one and bring the one. And when you ask Atta, why was Peter Tia different to all these other counselors? He said, because it was evident he had a faith in Jesus. He had an incredible love for Jesus, and he was consistent no matter where I found myself at and showed me Jesus. Atta was this guy Peter Tia's one. You see, that's the power of understanding the one. Because it could just be one conversation. It could be one moment in time. It could be one individual, one family, as I said, one generation that could literally change everything. Not only was this incredibly broken man's life changed, but now he is changing other people's lives. And if we're not careful, we can miss out on the power of the one. Back to this text in John, it says in verse 40, I hope you caught it earlier, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and it's funny because he's more referred in the scriptures to Simon Peter's brother than he is Andrew. He was one of the men, it says, who heard John say what he said about Jesus, and he followed Jesus. Watch closely verse 41. Andrew went to find his brother. He went to find his brother Simon and he told him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And then verse 42, then Andrew what? Brought Simon to meet Jesus. And looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter. Andrew followed Jesus. Andrew found Simon. Andrew declared Jesus. Andrew brought Simon. And Jesus changed the trajectory of Simon's life to now Peter, the rock in which the church was built. Make no mistake, I'm sure it was a big call in that moment to leave John, it says he was one of John's disciples, to follow Jesus. But once he discovered who Jesus was, nothing else mattered. And I love it because it says that he declared him rabbi, which means teacher, which means I don't know, you know. It's not my way, it's your way. And in the personal revelation and transaction, as he sat there, it says, for the rest of the day, and then he gets up and he goes and finds his brother and he says these words, we have found the Messiah, Jesus. And then he says, this is not enough to let you know about it. I am going to bring you because you were once lost. You are now going to be found. One giant game of manhunt. We all know Peter because he's mentioned a couple hundred times. We don't really know a lot about Andrew, and I don't have enough time to go into the full story of his life, but it's an amazing life. But I guess the important thing to note is simply this. When Andrew brings this guy Simon, and if your name's Simon, I still love you. You're a good person, okay? He brings Simon to Jesus, and if you understand the meaning of Simon, it means to listen. And to listen means you are taking on board, you're being influenced by something. He moves his name from Simon to Peter, Jesus does, which means rock. And he says, upon this rock, you are now going to be the one that takes the message. He moves from being influenced to an influencer. When Jesus gets a hold of our lives, we actually have a requirement to not keep the gospel to ourselves, but to share it with one another. And I love this passage because it shows that even though Andrew may not be a well-known disciple according to the standards of some of the other disciples, there is power in one invitation, and we see that Simon Peter was Andrew's one. You see, proximity to Jesus and proximity to people are imperative for every single one of us in 2024. What is proximity? It's nearness of space. It's nearness of time. It's nearness of relationship. It's to be close. And the closer you and I get to Jesus, the more we discover who is still lost and yet to be found. And when Jesus finds you each and every day, and when you discover Jesus, you can't help but get in on the game of manhunt, because it's too good to be true to not tell someone else about him. If you're still not convinced about the power of one, you may have heard a story in the Bible known as the feeding of the 5,000. Whatever campus you may be at, I'm sure you can recite this passage of scripture. In fact, it's understood that the 5,000 were referred to as the men of the crowd, and so it would be fair to assume, with the size of families of the day, that it would be a minimum of 12,000 people there, most likely 20,000. And we discover that through 5 bits of pita bread and 2 salted sardines that a little boy has, at the day and the age that was the size of one meal, that one meal, let's be conservative with the numbers, fed 12,000 people. How? Power of the one. Any guesses which disciple found the boy? Andrew. We know the boy. We know the sardines. We know the pita bread. We know the Jesus. We know the crowd. But the scripture tells us that when there was no answer from the other disciples, Andrew finds a boy, one boy, just holding in his hands one meal, who brings it to the one, and thousands of people's lives were impacted by the one. Very simply, this year, whatever campus you're at, this is going to be a year where we declare it's the year where we go after the one more than ever before. We lift the name of the one like never before, that we come back to the reality that if it's not about the one, nothing else matters. But secondly, we ask God to show us the ones. 2 simple questions that I'd love for you to write down somewhere, and maybe on a daily basis, ask yourself these questions. The first question is simply this: am I following the one? Seems like a simple question. But isn't it interesting, as I said, Andrew stops following John so he can start following Jesus. Are we following the story of Jesus or the person of Jesus? Andrew was following the story of Jesus because John was the precursor to Jesus. But in the moment Jesus arrived on the scene, he stopped following the story and he started following the person. Really good. Yeah. The truth is, for every single one of us that's a Christian here, you're either following Jesus or you're not. In fact, the Bible says, don't have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. That's being lukewarm and you're going to get spat out. You're better to be cold or hot. Right. Yeah. You're either following Jesus or you're not. It's kind of the difference between saying I'm a Christian, because it means a lot of things these days, versus being a Jesus follower. And I have to ask myself this question quite constantly: who am I living my life for? Am I living it for the approval of others, or am I living my life for the audience of one? It's important to know who you're following. In fact, the gospel relies on it. John 17, Jesus is praying his final prayer to God the Father before he's about to be arrested and then be crucified. And then we know 3 days later, he raises himself from the dead. But I want you to capture the words of Jesus' prayer in verse 20 of John 17. It says, I am praying, Jesus says, not only for these disciples, but I'm also praying for all who will ever believe in me through the disciples' message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us. Why? So that the world will believe you sent me. Verse 22, I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be as one as we are one. I, Jesus saying, am in them, you and me, as you, God, are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me, or you love them as much as you love me. When there is unity and we follow Jesus in proximity, it's actually the start point of the message of the good news to go out. Unfortunately, we live in a day and an age where Christians want to attack each other. Because you said this and you didn't do that, and there is no unity, and therefore the world looks in going, I don't want to be part of that. Right. But when we are in unison with Christ and in unison with one another, John 17, Jesus praying this prayer to the Father says, it's at that moment that the world will discover that he is the one. Worship teams are going to come and join me. I don't want you to be distracted, but the second simple question is this, not just am I following the one, but am I sharing the one? You see, we see that not only does Andrew stop following John and starts following Jesus, but Andrew tells his brother about Jesus. Personal revelation coming from proximity of following Jesus always gives birth to personal invitation. We've all heard the scripture, I'm sure, if you've been in church a little while, faith comes by hearing the word of God. We love that type of scripture. But it's talking about you and I sharing our story. In fact, let's read from Romans 10, verse 13 to 17. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We love that scripture. As I said, verse 17 finishes with the scripture we love. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But watch what verse 14 to 16 says. So everyone who calls on the name shall be saved, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. But not everyone, verse 16 says, will welcome the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes by hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. Sobering thought. To think that anyone can call on the name of the Lord, but they may never do so. And the reason is they never heard because we never told them. I wonder how many of our work colleagues, our family members, our friends are yet to hear the good news. We don't carry the bad news, people. Yeah. We carry the good news. But how will they hear if no one tells them? And the challenge for you and I this year is to understand that we not only need to follow the one, we need to share the one. That when we are found, we are now not out, we are in. And we are to search in the great game of the manhunt those that are still lost, those that are still hiding, those that are still away. And when we find them and bring Jesus to them, just as Andrew shows us, there is on the other side of that miracle an expansive future where the gospel goes forth and our lives and our worlds are better for it. But we don't do it often because it's messy, right? It's awkward, but take a leaf out of Arta's story. He's very clear in his testimony. I still got some rough edges. But it's not stopping him from sharing the one to the one. It's impactful, that story, but just for a moment, put yourself in the story. The same God that saved Arta, the same God that empowered Peter Tia to disciple Arta to a point of understanding how good God is the same God that lives inside of you and inside of me and is calling us to join in the search and rescue of those that are still lost and are yet to be found. Pretty sure there's a good chance if it wasn't for this guy, Peter Tia, bringing Jesus to Arta, that we wouldn't have the story we had today. Maybe those fellas looking for beef from the cow vehicle wouldn't be hearing the good news, but because Peter Tia made a decision to share the one, we now see a ripple effect take place. This is a year that I believe wholeheartedly is a year of the one, and it all starts with one. God sent his one so that Jesus can be your one, and now we discover we are his one. And the call in 2024 for every single one of us is, who is your one?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online? To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.